And amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And it's a joy to hear Brother Steeles this evening. And we've been looking forward to it. We pray for him, of course, on a regular basis. And we're thankful for the Lord's working in his life. And so we're going to ask him to come preach to us. And then we'll have the invitation and we'll say good night for the evening. But it's just a joy. I trust that you're excited about being in the house of the Lord. But Brother Travis Steeles, of course, as you saw in the video, serving the Lord in Hawaii and specifically trying to reach military there in his area, but then, of course, reaching folks that are not in military as well, but just trying to reach the gospel, reach folks with the gospel. And I know what some of you think is what always he gets joked about. So, well, if I was going to be a missionary, I'd want to be a missionary to Hawaii. But I'm telling you that it is a, all jokes aside, it is a needy, needy place. It really is. I don't know if it's just because everybody's gone there for vacation and all they've got, they think everything they want, living in paradise, so to speak, but they need the gospel. And they're hard to reach as well. And so I'm thankful that he's there, and I'm very, very grateful for that, and I enjoy my fellowship with him when he comes in, then sometimes on the phone as well. But we're certainly glad for you to get to hear him so that you'll know better how to pray for him and his wife and his girls. And we're going to come and let him come, and we're looking forward to hearing him gladly. Brother Steeles, you come preach for us.
Thank you, Pastor. Open your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians. While you're turning, just want to say I appreciate Pastor Herdman being here. He's been a blessing to me and my family since he's arrived, and Brother Dan as well. And we're excited about what's going on at Buffalo Ridge. You've obviously got a very beautiful auditorium here, and I'm excited to see, as things open back up from COVID, what God is going to do. I would have honestly never left this church if God would have not have called us there. I had no desire while we were here to leave. We had moved back here from Jacksonville, Florida. I had got laid off from a job there. And when we moved back to this area, I had no desire at all to leave East Tennessee. I love biscuits and gravy and sausage and all that good stuff. And you don't get that stuff in Hawaii. It's a little different cuisine and a little different lifestyle. So I was talking with Brother Daniel Wakefield just the other day, and he said, you enjoy living in Hawaii? And I said, well, kind of. I said, there are some things I like, some things I don't like. But the reason why I stay there is, number one, because it's the Lord's will, and number two, because I love those people and I want to see them saved.
Yeah.
So it's not a vacation for us, even though we do enjoy the weather, especially around February. And Brother Ford, we talked about that. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, we'll look at verses 18 through 20. I do not consider myself a good speaker. I'm gonna admit that to you folks. A lot of times I like to put a lot of scripture in my message, and I believe sowing the seed and let the Holy Spirit, because I'm not a very, what I would call, an eloquent speaker. I'm an engineer, as a lot of people will say. I'm good at math, not grammar and English and all those good things. So we'll be turning a lot. I'm just giving you a warning. We'll be turning a lot to a lot of different passages. So we'll start with verse number 18. And it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." I'm going to say a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you would empty me of myself right now. Lord, and I just pray you would use me to preach the word of God. It's not my word, it's thus saith the Lord. And Lord, I just pray by your Holy Spirit that you would speak to hearts tonight, correct what needs to be corrected, encourage what needs to be encouraged, and do what only you can, Lord, what I can't do, what Pastor Herman or no man can, but only you can, Lord. I just pray you'd use me tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. So, not have gone to seminary or Bible college, I struggled to outline this out, but I think I got somewhat of an outline that can easily take notes. And I look at first, and I'm actually going to go back to verse 17, because I think in context, it puts everything kind of in context. It says, a very famous verse, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then it continues on and it says, and all things are of God. So I believe this first part of the passage here is speaking specifically of the fact that God is both the creator and the rightful possessor of all things. And if you turn over to Genesis 1:1, you will see also a very famous verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, many people know this, but it's always good to be reminded that we as human beings, we are created with the purpose of knowing God, of fellowshipping with God, of having a personal relationship with God. God put us in a place, in an exalted position above all creation. If you were to read this chapter tonight in Genesis chapter 1, he gave us dominion over the earth. As such, we had a very, very special relationship with him. Well, going back, if you hold your finger, if you keep your place here in 2 Corinthians, everything belongs to God. He owns all things. The second part of that verse says, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ? That is what I call a dissolved or a separated relationship. They're all D's tonight. Dissolved or divorced relationship from God. You know, going back to the Garden of Eden, we had everything we needed. We lived essentially in paradise. No weeds, no bloodshed, no dying, no sickness, no pain, no sorrow. We had one option to sin. And God told us, I've given you everything you need, only don't touch the fruit of this tree over here. When we took that step and ate of that fruit, it separated us. It broke that relationship that we had with God. And by all rights, he had every right to say, you know what? You disobeyed me, but yet I own you. You walked away from me, and so I'm done. I believe it broke the heart of Almighty God. And I'm going to have you turn to Luke, hold your place, and turn to Luke 15. I think this is a very good typology of what it did to the Father when we chose to sin. And as you're all, most of you probably are very aware, as a result of that, that sin passed from Adam and Eve to their kid down to every single one of us. And now, in our DNA, we have the natural ability, the natural tendency to want to sin every single day of our lives. There's nothing good in us at all. So let's look at Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 13. And it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. You know, there's something that the son didn't recognize that he had in his father's house. It wasn't about the blessings and all those good things in the garden. He had a very special relationship with his father. And when we took that step and we walked away from God, God had every legal right, because we were created by him, to say, okay, I'm done with you. I'm done. I'm not going to seek after you. And it's over. But you know what? The dissolved relationship. The second thing I see is the dedication of the father. Even though we divorced God, we left him, we walked away from him, we broke his heart, he sought after us. We didn't seek after him. Look again in verse 18. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Turn over to Luke 19:10. What was the purpose for Jesus Christ coming to the earth? Well, he gives it in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, God knew before we ever created man that we were going to sin. My daughter asked me just the other day, she said, Dad, why did God put that tree in the garden? Well, all of creation naturally worshiped God. But you know what? He wanted to give us a chance to choose. He gave us a free will to choose. And he wants us now to choose if we're going to love him. You see, he has dedicated us. He is so dedicated that he's not going to give us what we deserve. If you look at that verse number 19, not imputing their trespasses unto them. We trespassed against the holy God. And what we deserve is hell and separation from him for all eternity. But instead, he gave us the most valuable thing he had, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. You might say, well, you know, I'm seeking after God. It's kind of a natural thing. No, it's not a natural thing. If you have a desire at all for God, it's because he's coming after you. Look at Romans chapter 3, and we'll read verses 10 through 11. Apostle Paul wrote this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. When we walked away from God, you would think by nature that we would have kind of said, you know what, I messed up. I'm going to turn right back around, and I'm going to go after God who was so good to me. But we were so deceived, and the Bible says even alienated in our mind, that our very nature, we just kept on going. We would have never stopped if God would have not have reached out and said, hey, you need me, you need me. That is who we are by our very nature. You know, if you look at this passage, I was looking at this today, or the last several days, the word reconciliation and reconciled is used 10 times in the New Testament. We'll see. I'm going to show you 9 of those passages tonight. And I wouldn't do a perfect 10, but the other one is not applicable. So these are the ones that God laid on my heart. So Turn to Colossians 1:21 and we'll see it there. It says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Flip to Romans 5:10. "For if when we were enemies," "we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." You know, we were hostile towards God, and yet he was so dedicated to us. I don't think that possibly can be described fully by human beings. I don't. You want to know the reason why I know the gospel is true? Because it is so simple that it can be understood by a child, but it is so deep that I will never come to the end of it. I cannot imagine why God would seek after me after I had done him wrong. It's not natural for us to do that. If somebody does me wrong, you know what I'm going to do? I haven't had a chance to want to get them back. Not God. He said, "You know what? I am dedicated to you. I love you." Flip over to Romans 4:25. I believe this is one of the best verses in all the Bible. Because to me, this is the gospel. Romans 4:25 says, "Who was delivered for our offenses." Never forget that mercy is not getting what we have earned. That's mercy, that first part of that verse. "Who was delivered for our offenses." We deserve to die for our sins. That the wages of sin is death. Grace is receiving what is undeserved. The second part of the verse is grace. "And was raised again for our justification." The gospel is not just that Jesus died, but that he was buried and he rose again. So I looked at a dissolved relationship. I look at a faithful and the dedication of the Father. And lastly, I look at the dignity of service. You know, we don't even deserve to be in God's family. We don't. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to have my sins forgiven. But yet, God not only saves me, he gives me the privilege to serve him. Look at this verse. "Now then, we are," say it together tonight, "ambassadors for Christ." Ambassadors. Wow. "For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Not the President of the United States, but ambassadors for Christ. The Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. The Jehovah God. The Self-Sufficient One. The Holy One of Israel. He's got so many names. And we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Wow. So we've looked at, I've showed you 8 times now the word reconciliation or reconciled. There's one other place. Matthew 5:23-24. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Turn to John chapter 15. We'll look at verses 12 and 13. It says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Well, we've seen how much God loves us, haven't we? Tonight, I hope so. When we were enemies against him, he died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Turn to John chapter 15. Let's look at, for just a second. If you turn to John 15, we'll look at verses 18 and 19. It says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You say, what's this got to do with being reconciled? You know, I'll be honest with you, and this has been some of the struggle that I've had in my life. We went to Hawaii, and we waited for over a year to get the church started. And then, I'm not going to go into a lot of the details, but within a few months of us getting the church, we had to shut down for COVID. The family that we had went and planted the church with, they called me and he said, will you pray with me that I think the Lord might be calling us back to Indiana. So I thought, well, surely, you know, we've not had this church planted a year. He's not going to go back to Indiana. Well, the next day, the pastor from Coalisle Baptist Church called me and he said, Hey, I was wanting to know if you wanted to come work out at Coalisle since that pastor's leaving now and going back to Indiana. And I said, wait a minute, hold on. He just told me he wanted me to pray about it. And he said, well, he's already asked somebody else to be the pastor of that church. And I could sit here and tell you that I've not struggled with bitterness, but I have. You know what I see going on in the world right now? The world is unifying and they are lining up to fight against God. That's what's going on in the United States. And I believe in the entire world. The devil is stirring up the world and they're going to fight against God. And they're coming after us. And I believe the devil's trying to stir us up against one another too, to be honest with you. I had never heard Pastor Lashley talk about the opposition that he had when he moved the church from down near the funeral home up here. That was the first I had ever heard of it. But, you know, I believe that this COVID and some of the things that had gone on in the last year and a half, and I believe the devil is trying to destroy us as a church. I love Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I love you, Pastor Herman and Brother Dan. I want God's blessing on this church more than anything else. If there's something at all, and I had to do this myself. I had to reach out to Pastor Sam. You know, I want God to bless that man and his family wherever he is. He's pastoring a church now in Indiana. We need, as many people on the firing line for Jesus Christ right now that we can have. And we need to be unified as a church. I'm not calling anybody out. I don't even have anybody in mind. But I believe the Lord laid this message on my heart to say, I hope you will unite behind this pastor right here. And you will go forward for the glory of God. And will do a great work here in East Tennessee. I'd like for everybody to bow their head and close their eyes. And I'm going to ask Pastor Herman to come up and just close us out.
With our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, what a great message from a great man. We thank God for brother, for our brother that has preached to us tonight, and Brother Steeles has just bore his heart. And what a joy it is to think about this as your heads are bowed and you do a little reflecting. Boy, what a wonderful, wonderful truth that God reconciled us to himself in the business of reconciliation by sending his son. And now he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. That we are supposed to be his ambassadors, his spokespersons to reach people for Christ. And then as he concluded by saying that there shouldn't be anybody, anything that would hinder our walk with the Lord, thereby hindering our ambassadorship, not the relationship, but hindering our effectiveness as an ambassador for Christ. And I pray that tonight as we just finish up, that if there is anything that's in your heart that is keeping you from being the very best ambassador for Jesus Christ that you could possibly be, that tonight you would leave it at an old-fashioned altar. Whether that's up front here at this altar, we invite you to come, or whether that's there at your pew. But I hope that you would be truthful with the Lord if he's called something out, that you would just say, Lord, that's me, and I give it to you tonight. And then I hope that if you've realized this evening that you've got a big job to do. We are ambassadors for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and what a privilege it is. And let us get busy about his business. Would you stand together as the ladies play? If God's spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Some of you want to come and do business with the Lord about something he's giving you. Others may want to come and pray for Brother Travis and his wife and his girls and their ministry as they get back. Others may have some heavy burden in your heart tonight, and you just need to spend some time with the Lord. Then this altar is open for you. May this house truly be a house of prayer. Oh, would God be pleased with that? And I pray that we would see it happen. As they play, continue to, if God speak in your heart. Maybe you're here this evening and you're not sure that you're saved. What Brother Steele's preached about was this. God was trying to get you to him by sending Jesus Christ to die for your sins. You understand that every one of us are sinners and we deserve to spend eternity separated from God in a wicked, horrible place called hell. But God was reconciling us by sending his son. And if you're here tonight not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Dan's right down at the front. I'll be watching. Other good folks will take a Bible and show you how you be sure heaven's your home. Just take that step. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized. We had the privilege of seeing several folks follow Christ in baptism this past Sunday, but maybe you'd say, Brother John, I've never done that. I'm saved and I know it, but I've not been baptized. Would you surrender to do the Lord's will in that? And let's get it signed, get you signed up, get you ready to get baptized soon. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It's a wonderful place. Wonderful place full of wonderful people that are ambassadors for Christ. And you'd like to come present yourself for membership. We'd meet with you this week and get that lined out. You just come present yourself. And then last thing is, Brother Steele's left it as the last thing. If there's one thing or a few that are in your heart or one person that you know there's some bitterness there, it's not easy to get up in the pulpit and tell things that you've didn't do exactly right, but Brother Steele's bore his heart. And maybe you're that same way. You say, there's something in my life that I need to get right with the Lord about. Oh, it's not caused you to go immoral. It's not caused you to get wild and woolly and go over here. But it keeps coming up again and again and again. Listen, my friend, if there's something that keeps on coming up again and again and again in a negative way, you need to do business with the Lord. Life is too short. Your health is too important. Your relationships with people are too valuable. The work for the Lord is too important. And if there's something that keeps on coming, or somebody keeps on coming up again and again, you just need to give them to the Lord. If you need to go to them, go to them. If it's something you've said about them, go apologize and tell the people who you told. Whatever it might be, let's follow the Lord tonight. Let us play just a moment more, and then we'll close the service. Dear Lord, thank you for this time to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for a good man. Thank you for somebody who you've saved and you've set apart. You've put him for your service. I pray that you bless him. I pray that you bless his wife. I pray that you bless his daughters. I pray that you put your hand of blessing upon them, and may they do great and wonderful things in your power for your glory to see souls saved. Well, thank you for all of it. Thank you again for this prayer meeting tonight, Bible study tonight. And thank you for the chance to be around your people. In Jesus' name, we pray and thank you for these things. Amen. Well, it's a joy again to be in church tonight. And I trust that you'll get by and see Brother Travis and let him know you'll be praying for him. Before you leave, I want you to be praying for Miss Miriam Morton. She's having heart surgery. Is that tomorrow, Stephanie? Tomorrow. And so I want you to be praying for Miss Miriam that the Lord would strengthen her and help and bless through this heart surgery. That'll be tomorrow. You'll be praying for her. And then in your prayer bulletin, there's other folks we're praying for. Brother Eugene Radford, and he needs the prayer, that's for sure. Is he in here? He's downstairs with the kids, maybe. He certainly needs the prayers. I was going to give him a hard time, but since he's not here, it's no fun. But he still needs the prayers, and we need the practice. So he works with the youth and the young people. Pray for him. Lord would strengthen him and bless him in the teen church. But thank God for that. And pray for others on there. Pray for the Magnuses as they do such a wonderful job here at the church, keeping things up and looking great. So continue to pray for them. And pray for Brother Jeff Roten and Miss Becky as our deacon of the week, and pray the Lord would strengthen them. Also, I'm supposed to announce that there is milk in the refrigerator. You know, we had those Nutty Buddies on Sunday, and we had little cartons of milk, and there's some extra left over in the refrigerator in the Family Life Center, and you are welcome to it. So they're just spoiled. So if you want any of it, somebody wrote a note for me to announce to go get your milk. And I tell you, it was a joy tonight. I wasn't going to have Brother Steele's preach, but I want to sit in the pews for once. So I was so glad to sit in the new pews, and I thought they were comfortable. Don't come to me after say, I don't know. It's not as this. It felt great to me to sit over there, but it is a joy to get to sit in these padded pews, and a joy to hear him preach as well. I would have sat and listened to him in a folding chair if I had to, but I'm glad I didn't have to. So thank you for being in church tonight. It's 7:59. Nope, it's 8 o'clock. It's time for you to go, and before you leave, drop some money off in the offering plate. You're dismissed.